The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. I'm your host, Rick Thompson, and I want to welcome you here to the last show of 2023. You're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM on Skidmore Radio, and the phone number in the studio if you want to call and chime in on anything is 518-580-5783. And our special guest today is Nancy Muldoon, who is a frequent guest of Talk Saratoga and always has a lot of information and puts it in a way that can get you irritated. So, good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks
How are
for
you?
Having me on your last show of the year. I'm
yeah,
excited.
How about that? And I can't believe that, you know, the fastest week of the year, I think, is the week before between Christmas and New Year's. Most people can't figure out what day it is.
It's true.
And then when you do, it's the end of the week, and it's crazy. I don't know. This week just flies by.
Well, I think the time from Halloween to New Year's Eve just accelerates, and then when January gets here, it seems to stand still. Like, January and February seem to be... It seems to go on for 6 months.
Exactly. But I'll tell you, you hit a certain age when you want even January and February to slow down a little bit more because the year goes by so fast that it's just unreal how fast it goes by. I mean, I can remember last January, last Christmas, it was colder than heck out, and we had snow in the middle of January through March, and here we are. We're back at it again. So, mm-hmm. Although this is my kind of winter.
Mild. You know, if it stays like this most of the winter, I'm
not
complaining.
A little sun. After today, we have some warm days and cold nights, but it looks like it's going to be sunny, partly cloudy and sunny for foreseeable future. So,
well, that's good.
On the extended forecast, where you can't believe anything they say, in the middle of January, we're supposed to start getting about 3 inches of snow, but who knows? It's a long time between now and then. So anyway, we've got some topics to talk about Saratoga. The most relevant one that I think is, you know, I was on the first committee with Pat Kane when we were planning First Night. And Pat lived in Boston for quite a while, worked out of Boston. He's from the Saratoga area.
Mm-hmm.
And First Night started in Boston, and we thought it'd be nice to have one here, and it was a success. I mean,
it was.
First Night was huge,
mm-hmm.
and for some reason, the chamber did away with it, and they started this 3-day event or 4-day event starting the Friday before, or 3 or 4 days before New Year's Eve, and I don't know. It seems like a watered-down event, even though people get out and walk Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't seem the same as having it one night at First Night where everybody was out and about.
Well, yes, I do remember. Like, it was about 10 years ago that I think it really reached its peak, and it was a fun time. And
yeah.
I used to do, I don't even know if they still do it, but for on and off for 10 years, I did the First Night 5K, which is right here on Skidmore campus.
Yep.
I don't know if they still do it, but I used to do it almost
in the paper,
every year, and I haven't seen any advertisements about it in a long time.
Right.
The other thing that the chamber did away with, which I was surprised about a few years ago, was that hats off.
Yeah, exactly.
Hats off weekend.
It's
like, why
up.
Would you take one of your biggest money-making events? You have to wonder what's going on with the decision-making process at the chamber. What's changed and who changed it?
Yeah. Well, they'll be on. I've invited Todd Shimkus, yes, who's the vice president of the chamber, I think.
I thought he was the president.
The president. He's the president. I thought the vice president led the chamber, but the president was head of the board, but I could be wrong. I'm not really sure of the
hierarchy there.
Right, but Todd is the head of the chamber. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask him about some of this information, you know, to see what the thinking behind it is. I mean, maybe they're doing better with the way they're operating it now, but it just seemed to be kind of an event that people liked, and it seems we're doing away with more of that and making the events, I don't know. I think Saratoga's getting more touristy than it is the hometown feel that
it's
had.
It's losing
years
its
ago.
Flavor.
Yeah, it's losing its flavor. That's a good one. But you know what? If it's making money and bringing people to the city, what the heck can we say, you know? Some of the topics we want to get into today, we've spoken about some of these in the past, but, you know, with the year end, I think, you know, some of the things have been announced for 2024. One of them is the
Belmont
the shelter.
And the shelter,
yeah,
yes.
The shelter mm-hmm. has been, sometimes I'm at a loss for words and I can't read my handwriting on here. Mm-hmm. The Adelphi Street shelter has been extended for another year, and that's a little barrier shelter for the homeless. And my only feeling about that is that it keeps getting extended a year at a time, and I would hope that the administration that's coming in can find a permanent home for, the shelter. I think we need a permanent low barrier shelter spot. So from year to year, you know, you could put money into that because if you don't know where you're going or how, you know, what it's going to cost.
Here's what I'd like to see happen, because I think that we've discussed some of this on a previous show.
Yeah.
That my criticisms of this is that there are so many nonprofits, there's so many agencies, and there's an explosion of homelessness. So you would think that with all of these safety nets in place, that there would be some sort of resolution to the issue of homelessness. And my criticism is that that's not happening. I think what we need to do, instead of continuing to throw money at a problem that just continues to get worse, which I'm not a big fan of, when I see the amount of tax money that is taken out of my paycheck, I don't want my money going for something that is not going to be resolved.
Okay.
And I think, here's my last point, is that I think that we need to get on board as an entire city and demand that every able-bodied person who are in these shelters has to contribute in some meaningful way to the city that is basically not just housing them, feeding them, and doing everything for them mm-hmm. from start to finish.
My only take on that is, you know, I agree there's a lot of nonprofits, but I believe they fill a role. I mean, the shelter is probably one of the biggest things. But, you know, there's so many, as other guests and I have talked about, there's so many things that contribute to homelessness that some of the homeless can't be put into a situation like you or I could if we were homeless.
Well, I'm not expecting people who have not worked in 10 or 15 or 20 years to work a 40-hour work week, and that would be successful, because I think that would be a disaster. But I think that having them contribute maybe 5 hours a week initially, then up to 10 hours a week, but they need to be contributing in some capacity. We cannot... You know, even Margaret Thatcher said, eventually you run out of other people's money. And that's true. This is not sustainable to have people that are non-working. They are not paying taxes in any way. They don't volunteer in the community. They do not offer anything of value to the community, which sustains them. That's my issue.
All right. And I'm going to answer back with just, you have to break the homeless up in different groups. And
right,
there,
you have to put the alcoholics with the alcoholics, well, the druggies with the druggies.
And the mentally ill with mm-hmm. the mentally ill. Then there's people that are just homeless because of certain situations, which
they had medical emergencies. They were destroyed by divorce. There's a lot of
lost their job or whatever, and you know those folks could, on your point, contribute something. They could contribute something. I mean, homelessness is a big issue because there are so many chapters to it, and they should come to a point, though, where we can work on it and maybe help out. Although, it's not just Saratoga Springs. I mean, it's all over the country that it's growing. And I think you can tie this in. Everything ties in to each other, like the border crossings. We're spending a lot of money on feeding and housing the illegals that are coming over. And, you know, I read an article the other day where it's taking a lot of money away from homeless veterans and people that are in need, like our homeless.
How is it that Kathy Hochul can find money for immigrants but cannot find money to fill the potholes in Albany?
Well, I agree with you. I don't know what the thing is, because our governor can find things for issues that don't relate to the state, but just to certain things. And I mean, that's another thing. We can't figure things out today. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just, in your words, we throw money at situations, and that's never a good thing because you don't solve anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just keep the ball rolling. But I think, you know, going back to what, you know, we had said in the beginning about the low barrier shelter, I think that could be a target where if you could get something set that you didn't have to renew every year, you could focus in how to utilize it better, because you're not constantly for the whole year, where are we going? What are we going to do? You know, I mean, you can concentrate more on what the problem is and help serve better. But, you know, it just seems, I don't know, anywhere, any city you go in the country, it's a problem that is very hard to get a hold of. And you know, there's another thing that I don't understand. Most businesses haven't got enough help today, all right? So where are the people that aren't working getting their money from? I mean,
you and me, the taxpayer.
Exactly. They're getting it from the government. And I think we're creating our own problem by doing that. I mean, you know, during the pandemic, the way things were, I don't feel myself that the country should have shut down completely. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were a lot of bad things happened. I mean, people in nursing homes were dying.
Mm-hmm.
The death rates were going up.
But we could shop at big box stores, but not mom and pop shops.
Right, exactly. So I just, you know, when you do things like that, you create more problems, and money was being given. You know, that was a good sum of money that people were getting a hold of, $800 a week plus unemployment if you had worked. And I don't know where.
And I worked during the entire pandemic and didn't see that kind of money at all.
Yeah.
So people that did not work,
right,
were rewarded for not working, and people that worked were penalized for that and had to put up with all sorts of nonsense.
And I was one of the ones that benefited of that because schools had closed, and you know, I drive school bus and I couldn't work. So yeah, it was a pick and choose, and I don't think that was the right way to do things. But, you know, that's water over the bridge and or water over the dam.
Well, you know my feeling about that. Anytime the government tries to tell you to, this is the only way that this is going to work, it's always the wrong way.
I know. You're a firebrand. I know that. one of the other things that happened recently was that the county Board of Supervisors announced that they awarded a $100,000 grant for, and this must be a new woke term, food insecurity, which I think is a phrase for feeding the needy. And, you know, the money's going to be used for supplying local food pantries. And what's a big, the food place in Albany that...
The food bank?
Yeah, the food bank. They're going to supply the food bank and food pantries for, you know, to feed the needy. And I don't know. I think that's great. You know, I really do, because, you know, food pantries, I know Franklin Community Center, they help an awful lot of people.
Yeah, and so does LifeWorks in Ballston Spa. LifeWorks. I volunteer for them, and I deliver groceries to people's houses.
Okay.
And it's a really neat, so a lot of people, if you don't have a car and you have small children and there's no way of getting out, you know, we deliver right to your door. It's
right.
LifeWorks, and it's a really great program. And you would never starve in Saratoga County if you were really, you know, struggling.
Right.
There's so many. There's St. Clement's Food Pantry. I used to volunteer there when I, you know, when I lived near there. And there's so many different places that are very generous.
And, you know, people shouldn't feel, a lot of people feel embarrassed about going to these places.
Right.
And they shouldn't feel embarrassed.
Right.
If they need food or they need supplies, you know, take advantage of it. I mean, that's what they're there for.
There's no shame in really needing something.
No, there isn't.
Right.
There isn't. But some people are too proud to to get things. And, and, you know, they have to overcome that. And
but groceries are so, I've never seen groceries this expensive.
Oh, it's
$7
terrible.
For a box of cereal.
I know. It's terrible. I mean, the price of hamburger. You know, the only thing that basically is a good price is pork. And, I mean, you can only eat so much of pork before you get sick of it. But, yeah, everything has gone up. Every product, I mean, it doesn't matter what, has gone up immensely.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't foresee any time soon where it's going to stabilize or go down. Because once prices go up, they never seem to come down, no matter if they cure the problem or not. I think a lot of problem is the transportation of getting the food from the supplier to the stores because of the fuel costs and the fuel taxes that tractor-trailer drivers have to pay. I mean, you talk to any tractor-trailer driver that owns his own rig or works for a company, and the amounts that they have to pay are mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I think a friend of mine was telling me that, I don't know how what the exact number is right now, but there are so many people in that field, in the, you know, supply chain, that don't work there anymore because they couldn't afford to keep their rigs on the road. So I think that adds to the cost of the product. So hopefully, at some point, we can get more of fossil fuel oil supplies where the fuel costs could be a little cheaper. Maybe that'll make prices go down. I don't know.
Did you see that post? I saw it on Facebook. I think it was like from Channel 13. It was some sort of breaking news where they said that the New York State legislature is spending money for a study to see why so many New Yorkers are leaving the state of New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, they don't have to do a study for it.
I mean, talk about not reading the room.
Right. You could tell them.
Well, do they not listen to their constituents?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Nobody
does. Do they not have a Facebook account where people are constantly complaining about the price of groceries, the price of gas?
You know, I don't think, honestly, I don't think, I give people that go into politics a lot of credit. You know, I think they have the best intentions when they go in. But it's very hard to listen to your constituents because, I don't know, it's like Saratoga with two-year terms. Our Congress has two-year terms. They're more concerned about getting reelected.
Right.
You know.
So nothing really gets
making
done.
Making money for their accounts for running for office in another year. I mean, I don't know. I don't think any politician, good or bad, really listens to the constituents.
Right, because the focus isn't to resolve anything. It's just to continue to keep your job.
Right. And
right.
And that's not to say that there's not good, you know, elected officials that do good work. and do listen to their constituents. But I think the overwhelming supply, number is just constantly working towards re-election. And I think that's why incumbents get re-elected a lot more than people that are running against them, is because they have more money.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's basically what it's all about, is how much money you have is how you can win re-election or win elections, which is a sad thing. But Davy Crockett was elected from his home state, I think it was Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken, for Congress. And after two terms, I think it was 4 years, he was very popular, and he said, that's it. He said, no one should make a career out of being a politician. He said, you should go in, do the good, as much mm-hmm. good as you can, and then get out and let somebody else have a turn
right.
to do
good. But as you and I both know, that career politicians is very lucrative.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why they wrote a song about Davy Crockett, and he had a show on Disney. So, what the heck? Yeah, that's what Davy Crockett did.
I want to hear more about your idea about the parking. You were saying something about the parking garage widening its entrance there.
I think the parking garage on Woodlawn Avenue, mm-hmm. The first parking lot when you turn
directly
off
across the street from Stewart's.
Right. When you turn off at Division Street. The first
near Church
first
Street
one, yeah, it's
mm-hmm.
not the second one.
Mm-hmm.
When they made the garage, first of all, I think the entrance is in the wrong place. It should have been probably in the middle of the parking lot before you get into the parking garage, so that you had room away from Church Street, where the movie theater is. Or the next one down where Stewart's is, the next block down. And they made it too narrow. You cannot get two cars side by side without praying that you don't
scrape. It's a very congested intersection.
It is.
You have people coming out of the Stewart's parking lot. You have people trying to get over to Church Street to take a right going towards Broadway.
Yeah.
And then you have people trying to take a left, which is nearly impossible at that intersection if you're trying to do it.
Exactly. And you can't. And even trying to get in the parking lot to the parking garage, you have backups of 4 or 5 cars, and if you do on the one side, you're backed up onto Church Street because
and
there's not
pedestrians
enough.
Are crossing the street where that Country Corner Cafe is.
Yeah.
And that creates a nightmare, too, because you're trying to turn. You're trying to wait for your turn to turn, and then you have pedestrians crossing.
And they have the right to cross.
And they do
cross.
Have the right.
Yeah.
But a lot of times they don't want to go, and then you start to move your car, and then they decide at the last second, maybe I should go.
Yeah.
And it just creates
a
cluster.
Well, I think that's one of the corners they should have a light, a walk
yes.
light.
Yes, yes.
Because if you have a walk light, they can't cross the street until it mm-hmm. says walk. Like most downtown, mm-hmm. Most of Broadway has those. But if you don't have a walk light, they have the right of way in that zone anytime they want. And
well, I think there should be a stop sign right by the movie theater. So if you're driving on Church Street, a lot of people cross. There is a crosswalk on Church Street right by the movie theater. But people will just step out. And that's a heavily trafficked area. You can't just slam on the brakes because the car behind you is going to slam into you.
Well,
and I think that's the issue there. If they put a stop sign where you have to stop.
Well, I don't know so much about a stop sign because I think that would create more backup. If they put, you ever see one of those green signs in the middle of the walkway that says slow pedestrians crossing?
Mm-hmm.
They have those. Something like that would grab the mm-hmm. attention of a car coming up. And if they see a pedestrian crossing, they stop.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen those in school district areas and a lot of different high trafficked areas. They have those. But, yeah, they need to do something. But anyway, with that garage, our county supervisor, Matt Veach, since 2009, it was kind of like a forgotten thing. I used to complain a lot. Not that I'm a big complainer to the city, but that was one of my pet peeves because I just have seen so much going on at that entrance that it kind of, it's cringeworthy, basically. Mm-hmm.
Well, the other pet peeve that I have about the city, you remember when they tore down the Saratoga Spa City Diner?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. It needed to be torn down.
Yeah.
But I think there should be an ordinance that if you're going to tear down a building, that something else has to go in its place within a certain time frame.
Yeah.
It's just a hole. It's just an empty, ugly lot.
Yeah.
So unlike Saratoga. There's either no that, need for that.
Right. Either that or grass it over like a little park.
Yes.
Until it's used.
That is correct.
Right. Until that's it's
an,
used.
That's
for
an
something.
Excellent resolution. Yeah. Yes.
But anyway, they are going to widen that entrance to the Woodlawn parking lot and garage. And I want to thank, you know, our supervisor, Matt Veach, for getting the money. He got the money. Was on one of the shows. We talked about it. And I told him the problems that, you know, you couldn't talk to anybody in City Hall about it. And so at the board meeting, the county supervisors meeting in October, he got a $50,000 grant.
That's awesome.
For the city.
Thank you, Matt Veach.
Specifically to widen it. Yeah, you know,
yeah, Matt's
thanks,
on the
Matt.
Ball.
Yeah. And Matt is a great supervisor for Saratoga. He
I would
really
like
is.
To see him be the mayor of Saratoga.
Yeah, I in a way, but I'd hate to have him lose that supervisor spot because he can get more for Saratoga, I think, than and
as
he helps out the county
is,
also.
Right.
I mean, he's very good at getting things for Saratoga, but also for other villages and towns in the county because I think Saratoga County only has two cities in the whole county, Mechanicville and Saratoga Springs. The rest are towns and villages, although Clifton Park could be a city, if they had a central downtown, because
they
have
yeah.
more population than Saratoga.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they have no Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything's, I think the biggest section of Clifton Park is the... where the mall is, and that stretch right there. I mean, it's almost
nine.
Like Wolf Road.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, no, so I think that's one thing that's settled for the future is that parking lot, parking garage site. And, you know, that's a benefit for Matt. You know, I mean, a benefit for the city, a feather in Matt's cap. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, let's hope we see it soon because, you know, we need it.
Are
so.
You going in, are you going to the swearing-in ceremony on the 1st?
No.
No?
No. I don't do anything New Year's Day because I have to go to work the next day. So.
Understood.
Yeah. I you know, I'll be there in spirit because, you know, I like to see what John's going to do in the
John
next
Safford.
2 years. Yeah. And
I'm interested in seeing what he's going to do also.
I think so. I you know, I really hope so. Hey, you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM and the mighty Skidmore Radio. And the phone number in the studio is 518-580-5783. And if there's anything you want to talk about for the upcoming year, give a call. Don't be shy and don't hold anything back. So give us a call here. One of the things that we wanted to talk about was... the paid parking in Saratoga. So they've come up with a plan. I don't know if it's been passed yet, but they've
I don't know
come
either.
Up with a plan
mm-hmm.
that they want to institute for, I think it's 5 months of the year, to charge for parking downtown and some side streets, I think, in the downtown corridor
mm-hmm.
for visitors. I think residents are going to be... exempt from paying for parking downtown. We already have paid parking in the one parking garage by the
city center.
Mm-hmm. And someone told me, I never go down there, but someone told me that it's empty quite a bit and because people just don't want to pay for paid parking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But,
you know what I like about that? I've not parked in there, but I just see the sign as I drive by, is that it tells you what spaces are available, which I think is...
Oh, really?
That's really cool. I think all
yeah.
of them should have that sort of technology, so you're not driving around and around and around and around.
Oh, okay.
It'll
they don't
say,
tell
like,
you how many, or just they
well,
tell
it
you
says,
what?
Well, it says, you know, like I saw, it's like a digital sign, and it will say, like, you know, space 46 available or whatever it is. And I think that's a neat feature.
Oh, yeah, it is, because most of the parking lots are always full. And you do have to drive around and around and hope somebody leaves. And, you know, the old saying in Saratoga is, and I don't understand it, because we have the same population as we did in 2000.
You don't think it's grown since then?
No. The city has grown mostly high-rises, condos, but most of those people aren't considered city residents because they're
gone most of the year
in Florida. For if you live in an area 6 months and a day, then you can claim that area. So most people claim Florida as their year-round residence because they don't pay any state taxes. So they come here or rent their place out, and I don't think they're counted as a resident of the city. So even though there's more people in the city, I think more of them are snowbirds, and they're not here year-round. Right. Because if you look at the census figures from 1990 to 2000 to 2020, I think you're going to see a slight variation in population. So, you know, I mean, that's one thing. But I think paid parking, I don't know. I think they want to make money on the tourists that come in, because a lot of cities like Lake George, they have parking meters. And, you know, they count on that revenue for the summertime. And I think that's when they're going to put it in the most.
Now, there's a place, Lake George, where it's impossible to find parking.
You
ever go up there in the summer? It's a nightmare.
Yep.
I mean, in Saratoga, and maybe it's because I'm from here, I know where all the free spots are.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'll tell everybody a little secret. I've kept this secret for a very long time, but those 15-minute parking spaces in the Saratoga Public Library, they are only enforced during racing season. So you can park in those 15-minute parking spaces
For
more than 15 minutes.
You know what,
you're
Nancy,
good.
If anybody's listening today, they're probably going to cost the public safety department and say, check those 15-minute spots.
Yeah, please don't do that.
But, you know, the saying in Saratoga is that no matter how many parking garages you build, they'll always be full. And, I mean, it always seems that way. They built four parking garages in downtown Saratoga off of Broadway or, down off of Spring. They're always full. So no matter where do these people come from that didn't have a parking spot before?
Yeah, I know.
They're always full.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's always going to be a problem. They'll make more money during those 5 months, the city will. And, I hate to say it, when tourists come here, they're going to have to pay for parking because that's...
But you know what? I don't think tourists mind. They're coming here to spend money.
Yeah.
It's the locals that don't want it.
Right. Well, the only thing they're going to charge for, and I've always thought about this, and I've said to some people, you have to, if you work downtown, you have to move your car every 2 hours.
That's ridiculous. They should have come up with a resolution for long time ago.
That, or charge the business a minimum amount of like maybe $200 a month or $150 a month so their employees can park in the lot and not have to run out and change their car. They could get a permit.
Right.
But what I think they're going to do for that, to remedy that, they're going to sell permits for $300. A month. So I would think...
For employees that work in
Saratoga?
For businesses.
Yeah, that they could get a permit for their employee so they don't have to keep running outside every 2 hours. Now, I know our credit union is down on Division Street on the corner.
But do you think it's fair for businesses who are already paying taxes, who are already paying rent for their businesses, which is not cheap in downtown Saratoga?
No.
Do you think it's fair for them? Because I don't think that's fair.
Well, I mean... The next thing that they could do is give the businesses downtown a permit so their employees can park, have a permit so they don't get scanned for a ticket. I mean, they have to do something somehow to get it so that employees, I know the people that work in our credit union on Division Street have to run out every 2 hours.
That's ridiculous.
And, you know, I mean, if they can't find a parking spot and have to, I don't know. It's just, it is. It's ridiculous.
There should be a separate lot for those who work downtown. At like a central location. This is where you park. Maybe you pay a dollar a day.
Well, maybe use the one down below the parking garage in back of the city center. I still think they have that flat parking lot. I don't think they built the garage on that whole piece of property across the street from Jacob and Anthony.
Who owns the former Saratogian parking lot?
Oh, gosh. I know the guy's name, and I can't think of it now. He owns quite a bit of property.
Because I think that would be a central location for employees of downtown Saratoga.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a perfect parking lot. Pay a dollar a day, and there you go.
Yeah.
You're done.
And, well, you know, they used to rent that out to nonprofits.
I remember that, yeah.
I remember that, but I don't think they do that anymore. And that's a big parking lot. And that building's not even being used, I don't think.
Isn't it the... Isn't it some bar now?
The Saratogian?
Yeah, wasn't it a bar?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it still is.
Oh, I don't know that. Well, that might not be a good idea then. The employees may stop in if they have a have a little drink before they go to work. I don't know. But I think, you know, that probably should be looked into.
Right. The other improvement that I'd like to see, and I'm surprised this has not been remedied. I mean, I can't be the only person driving in downtown Saratoga, is if you're on Broadway... facing south, and you're trying to take a left onto Lake Avenue. So the city center, or the city hall, is
right.
directly to your left.
Right.
Post office is to your right. You're trying to take a left there. There is no left turn arrow there. Why?
That's
I mean, you're taking
a
left. Now, on the other side, if you're facing north, there is a left turn.
To go right.
There is a left
up,
arrow. Left
up,
green arrow, yeah. But it only lasts for like 3 seconds.
Right.
Like one car can go by before the light turns.
But at least it turns.
Yes.
I mean, you know, at least it's a left arrow.
Yeah, but if you're trying to take a left onto Lake Avenue, you're taking your life into... I'm surprised there's not more accidents there.
Well, you know, 29, if you take a left on Rowland heading west, there is an arrow there that lasts a long time because that's a very busy road. But I read where they're going to put a roundabout there. And they're gonna
at Route 50 in Rowland? Oh, no, wait.
No,
oh, wait.
On 29. In Rowland.
29 in Rowland. Okay, I know what you're talking about. Yes. Yes.
They're going to put a roundabout there, but they're going to start in 2024 and it won't be finished till 2025.
That's a heavy truck route there.
Yeah,
and I noticed that with roundabouts, those trucks kind of go up on
time.
The yeah.
Yeah, well they angle the curbing
right.
for them.
But, yeah.
I mean, it is a heavy
it is a truck route.
Yeah. I don't know how it's going to be, but I honestly, I think roundabouts are a pain in the neck. But they say you can get more traffic through less accidents. And but
it took me a long time to figure out. I mean, now I understand how they work. Anybody in the circle has the right of way.
Yeah.
Everybody else has to wait their turn. But a lot of people don't know how to drive.
No. People will try to enter. If you're in the circle, they'll enter from the side there where they're supposed to yield.
Well, most people don't know what a yield sign means.
No.
They just look at it and go, oh, I have the right of way.
I mean,
but
I think
you don't.
The worst one, you know, I go to one taking the kids up to the special needs school in Queensbury, and they have one there. And that's tough because they try to shoot out all over the place, but it's not as bad as the one down in
Malta.
Are you
talking about the one past the Queensbury High School?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I know where that is.
It's not as bad as the one in Malta. Holy moly.
Yeah, I'm an expert at it now.
Trying to get through that one, and then you've got two more going down south. But
yeah.
Trying to go through that one is, you're taking your life in your hands because people do not, I mean, they go so fast that they don't honor that who's ever in the circle first.
Yes.
And it's, boy, I tell you. So I'm not a fan of roundabouts, but I think the state is, I think the state and the county, I think one's a county road and one's a state. Rowland is a county road, I think, and 29's a state road. So I know the plan was in on the county website, and I think it's been approved. So... And the date, they said, was early 2024 and finished in 2025. So we'll see what happens there. I don't know. Traffic is a big problem in Saratoga because we're getting more and more people. It is a tourist destination now. And, I mean, the city center books, I forgot how many booking days a year they have, but it's quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's going to be a little more busy in June.
You know what I would like to see happen? And this is long overdue, Rick. Because it's so outdated, is when these concerts happen in SPAC,
mm-hmm.
they can get them in, but getting out is a nightmare.
Yeah.
There has to be a much more efficient system because it's, you know, yes, I understand that SPAC opened in 1960. There weren't as many cars on the road, but there has to be an easier way to go in. Like, say you're dropping your kid off
right.
at a concert. You go to the Hall of Springs, you drop your kid off. To pick your kid back up at the end of the night, it's a nightmare. It's impossible.
Well, I don't... When you go to get out of the parking lot, can you only go one way?
Yes.
So you can't...
Yeah.
What is it, going north into Saratoga or going south?
Well, it depends on where you are. Because there's that lot on Route 50.
Right.
But then if you go in, say you're coming in from the Avenue of Pines along Route 9, it's just backed up. There has to be an easier way to get in and out.
I know, but we parked in the main parking lot when we went to see Tom Petty years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when we came out, I'm trying to figure out where we...
And then there's the other alternative exits, like the East-West Road, which tourists don't know about.
No.
But locals know, East-West Road. There's an entrance off of 50, and it goes all the way out to Route 9, where that Christmas store is. You know, where that... I think that it's not a Christmas store anymore. It's like a thrift store. And then there's the veterinarian place there. But there's an entrance directly across the street from there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's off of 50.
That's East-West Road.
You go up Pat Zion's home.
Yep.
And on the right there. Yeah, all right. Yeah, I wouldn't know how to get into SPAC from there. But
mm-hmm.
One thing about SPAC that I'm upset about is they have no handicap service for people. I had a knee replaced in August, and my daughter got tickets for, they had a Queen, I don't know what you want to call those bands.
I know what you mean, like a cover band.
Cover band.
Yeah.
And they were like the number one in the world, the number one Queen review band or whatever they call them. And my daughter had bought tickets for Father's Day for the three of us. And so I called SPAC because she got seats. I like the balcony seats, you know, called SPAC. And I asked if they had any way to get from the parking lot, like, into the balcony section. Because you got that ramp, you know, that you go down. And if they had wheelchair access. Because I know a lot of venues, sports venues have that. And they said, no, we don't have anything like that. so I couldn't go. Number one, I really didn't want to go because I didn't think I could sit down that long because mm-hmm. I was only 4 weeks out of surgery. But my wife said, look, we have to get there an hour and a half before the concert starts, and you'll have to stand up outside. And then they open the gates, and then you have to walk from the parking lot through the SPAC grounds and then walk down the ramp, you know, through the lawn seating, and then down the ramp and up into the balcony. I could never have made it, you know. They'd have to carry me in a stretcher. But I'm very surprised that they're a venue that doesn't have that accessibility. And I don't know. Someone told me that they used to have it. So I don't know if it's Live Nation that doesn't
know.
Allow that
seems
anymore.
Strange to me.
It does seem strange, but... Yeah, I miss Queen, but in a way, I couldn't have gone anyway. But
well, it doesn't seem very accommodating to handicapped people. And you'd think with all the handicapped parking spaces and all the laws in place that you'd think that of all venues,
they may have handicap accessible. But if I had my own wheelchair, they, you know, like my wife would have gotten me through. but they don't provide that. And I was talking with a girl from New York who works for NYRA during track season, and, you know, I was worried about it because I worked up to the middle of the meet. And she said, well, I work, you know, she works for NYRA, but she said, I also work at one of the venues down in New York City that has concerts all the time. And she said, they provide that service. They'll take you from the parking to right down to your seat. So, but anyway, like I said, I couldn't have made it. But she brought me Father's Day gift. We're opening gifts on Christmas morning. And she says, oh, Dad, I got your Father's Day gift. And I says, well, I don't want it now, but, you know. And she goes, well, you have to, because it's for January the 19th or the 14th. And they're showing a Queen concert from 1984 on the IMAX theater down at Crossgates Mall. And, I mean, we're big Queen fans. And so we're, you know, she's taking Peg and I down to the down to the Queen concert. And that was, Brian May at the time said that that was the peak of their career, was in 84. And I never knew this, but in 84, Queen played at the RPI Fieldhouse.
I didn't know that either.
On their way to Montreal, where this concert was filmed, which is going to be the movie that they're, they're playing there. But we have a couple over for Christmas dinner, and we got talking, and when she heard that, she said, you know, I went to that Queen concert at the RPI Fieldhouse. And we were sitting in the back, and the whoever came in and said, we have to move your seats because they're putting a soundboard in where the three rows are. They're putting a soundboard in. So they moved her and her friend up to the fifth row
from
the stage. So at the end of the concert, Freddie Mercury always had a towel that, you know, and around his neck, and it was left on the stage. So it was on the edge of the stage, so they went up and got the towel. And they cut it in half and stapled their tickets to it.
Oh, that's funny.
And I said, do you know how much that towel would be worth today? And, I mean, they could even do a DNA on it because it had a sweat on it.
Right, right.
But she lost it.
No.
Yeah, I know. She lost the darn thing. And, of course, he just had his, or, you know, his estate just had all that big auction last year.
Oh, I didn't
year.
Know that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they, my daughter.
You know, I didn't even know Freddie Mercury was Indian until a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah, he was. and then he moved to England as a young kid. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he was from, I forget the name of the island that he was born on. But anyway, yeah, they had that auction, and my daughter bid on some things because he was a big collector of Japanese art. And
he was also
ceramics,
a big lover of cats.
And he was.
He had many cats.
He had many cats. So she bid on a couple items, and she was the high bidder on this one Japanese candlestick set. And she didn't tell me how much she bid because I probably would have said, what are you, crazy? But, you know, it was maybe $400, right? About 6 minutes before the auction on that ended, it sold for $150,000.
Wow.
Yeah, all his stuff went for unbelievable amount of money.
He's an interesting guy.
Very
It's just a shame how he died, and the tabloid media at that time was especially vicious towards people who were dying of AIDS, which is just pathetic.
And if he had had AIDS today, he wouldn't have died. I mean,
you're
they have
right.
so many, you know, so much medicine to help you today. But yeah, back then that was like a death sentence if you had, you know.
And you died quickly.
Yeah, you did.
Like
you
within
did.
A couple of weeks.
Yeah. And he went fast, but no, I love Freddie Mercury. Queen is one of my favorites, you know. I'm an 80s guy, so 80s
music. Oh, I like 80s music, too.
A lot of people do. You know, I'm very surprised at the number of young people today that like 80s music. They have a...
Well, it wasn't manufactured. Everything wasn't mechanicalized then.
No,
You had to actually sing.
Yeah. Well, the thing, too, is I think it was the first. I mean, I like 60s and 70s music, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I do, too.
But I think 80s was the first music that you could understand the words to, and you could sing along with the songs. But they have a concert here before Thanksgiving. I think it's the Saturday before Thanksgiving, or maybe two Saturdays before, and they call it, I'm going to say Skidmania or something like that. But they play 50 years. They go back 50 years. So this year it was 1973's, 1973's music.
Yeah.
Okay. And the kids that take instruments that are in the music programs and the singing programs, mm-hmm. the voice programs, do the concert and do all the songs and play all the instruments. And they're professionals, basically. I mean, in these music programs, these kids have played their instrument for years growing up. And they're unbelievable, let me tell you. And so it was music from the 70s, from 73, and what a fantastic mm-hmm. thing. And it was sold out Friday and Saturday nights.
Oh, wow.
And I was talking with, I'm friends with a couple of the students here because of, we take them from the Case Center to the Horse Barn, you mm-hmm. know, Upstate does.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to be friends with about three or four of the kids, and the one girl who graduates this year, Nakina, said, you know, I wonder, how old am I going to be in 50 years when they do 80s music? And she said, I'll be in my 70s. And I says, well, then you come back because you'll be an alumni and you can hear the 80s music. But a 21-year-old kid that loves 80s music, to me, is pretty special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love that. So, you know, it's just fun. Music is kind of like the bridge of generations. And if you like music and you can talk to people of all ages.
That's right.
It's kind of a bridge to it, you know. Well, we got a lot of things figured out on what's going to happen in 2024.
Yeah, if only we were running the city.
Yeah, and it's going to help. It's going to help a lot of people out. And I'm kind of... interesting. We always say at the end of the year, 2024, the next year is going to be a better year for everybody, and I hope it is. I hope that everybody has a great and happy 2024. And to you, Nancy, I want to
thank you, Rick,
for being here and
thank you
doing
for having
the last
me.
Show of the year.
And I hope you have a great year too.
I hope so. I hope so. And it's got to be better. It's got to, you know, than the last couple. But in any case, it'll be a good year. We look forward to it. And I know one thing, it'll go by faster than 2023 went by, because every year seems to go by faster. Well...